You're listening to Spotlight on KAXE KBXE. I'm Heidi Holton. Later, we're going to hear from Bob Garfield of WNYC's On the Media about his new book called American Manifesto. He's going to help us understand how social media is changing our political and our daily lives. Joining me in the studio right now is Sarah Bignall, Director of Operations at KAXE KBXE. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So one of the things we're going to be doing up until the election and possibly after that, take a look at the nature of social media, of misinformation. And you and I talk about this a lot because it's important to us, not just for the airwaves, but in our daily lives, about how things are spreading. Throughout this show, the topic has been about the misinformation about refugee resettlement. And so we're going to kind of get into that a little bit and then also talk about some healthy habits.
Exactly. And we're just kind of into the new year already, and I think a lot of us have done the health check of, am I getting enough fruits and vegetables? Am I sleeping well enough? Am I getting to the gym often enough? But I found that one area in my life is really lacking is having a well-balanced news diet, meaning that I'm getting news from a wide variety of sources, because it's very easy, I think, to get yourself into a wormhole that is reconfirming biases that you maybe don't know that you have, but you do. You know, I think as people, we like to be confirmed that we have all the answers, or our opinion is 100% correct. And when we're challenged with information that maybe goes against those beliefs, it gets a little uncomfortable, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things, it's even more complicated than that, because you can like put yourself on a good diet of checking multiple sources. And we're not saying if you're an MSNBC watcher, you should watch as much Fox News as that. I mean, it might be that. I mean, that might be helpful for you, but it's all the more complicated because of how social media works, mm-hmm. and the things that are being shared there. And I think we don't always realize we don't have a lot to do with what we're seeing on social media, even though we've chosen who we're friends with and all of that kind of stuff. And so even something like headlines, I think it's opposite of what my gut tells me. If I see a headline multiple times, that I might think that that's a real headline then.
Uh-huh.
When really,
It could be a completely false story. And all of us, I think, because we have so much information that is shoved at us on a daily basis, whether we're scrolling through Facebook, whether we're on Twitter, and you can't read all of that. I mean, there's no way that anybody can ever consume that much news, but we scroll past it and, you know, you'll see five instances of the same story. So obviously, well, I know the headline, I'll maybe read like the first line of it. Therefore, I'm an expert of whatever that topic is. But really, you need to, we talked to Tammy Bobrowski, who's a librarian at Bemidji State University. And we asked, hey, what do you tell your students, you know, when they're looking for good information? And she said that she always encourages students to read laterally, which means that you might see the headline, but you actually need to click on whatever the story is, and you need to get into the nuts and bolts of it. So look at it and see who the author is. Does it just say like staff, or is there maybe no author that's listed there at all? Do they have sources in there? Are they reputable sources? She recommended kind of digging into that a little bit more too. The other thing is sometimes headlines are just completely made up and false. Do you ever copy and paste like the headline and search it and Google and you?
No, I know I should, but I don't do that.
You don't.
Yeah.
And so oftentimes I've done that, and then I see that the same story, like verbatim, either the headline or even I'll take like the first paragraph of it, is listed on multiple websites, which to me is a huge red flag that it's not a real news story, because if there were separate journalists covering this, they would have a different take on it, and they wouldn't be writing word per word what their counterpart at another news organization would.
Yeah, and I think this is a good time to get into what is happening in our local communities, as throughout this program we've been hearing about the facts and figures of refugee resettlement. That's where we saw people flare up on social media throughout our entire listening area. Beltrami, Itasca, Crow Wing, St. Louis counties, we were just seeing a lot of things going on.
So on a Saturday or Sunday, there was a photo that was taken of the Grand Rapids Human Rights Commission's agenda that was coming up, and they had circled on there an item on the agenda that was refugee resettlement discussion was circled. And it was amazing how quickly that single post, and I saw it for most multiple people on Facebook, swirled around to, it's now the city council is meeting on that. It was warning. They are going to be discussing refugees coming into Grand Rapids. And just the story continued to balloon and grow. And in reality, one, the Human Rights Commission for the city of Grand Rapids is one of many commissions that the city has that's all volunteer run that takes up a variety of topics. The human rights one looks at human rights. They also have an arts commission. They have a parks and recs commission that exists as well that have volunteers that look at their particular area. They give recommendations to the city leaders. And really, they're good for communities because they allow and inform the city leaders to make better decisions for us as a city.
But they're not making the choice of the false news that 6,000 refugees are coming into Grand Rapids, Minnesota.
No. And even with the refugee resettlement thing, is not a city decision. It's something that would need to be done at the county level. So as I'm seeing these things balloon on social media, huge red flags are going up for me of one, the Human Rights Commission would never be taking this up. Two, the city of Grand Rapids would never be taking this up. And there isn't a huge influx of refugees being dropped off by the thousands in buses. And so really has to put what Marshall Helmberger called, it's a nothing burger.
This is not a political thing here that we're talking about. We were seeing conservatives and liberals questioning all of these refugees that were going to be coming into this area. What is interesting to note is that if you were paying attention to what was going on in Beltrami and Itasca and St. Louis County, you're seeing some repetition.
Yes.
Much like when we were talking about the headlines, that the same headline. And so you were seeing a lot of the same facts and figures of 6,000 refugees when, by the way, it's not even 900 people that came in last year to the entire state of Minnesota.
Yep.
Nobody north of St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Yes.
891, I believe. So 6,000 is an outlandish number. We started really, really thinking about this and going to sources, like you said, going to librarians. We've been talking to experts like Bob Garfield coming up, and we're putting together some things to remind ourselves as we wade through this presidential election of 2020 to kind of pay attention to. So we've already talked about considering the source. What are some other things you should be kind of looking for? Checking who the author is. If there is an author, it's kind of fishy if there is no author.
100%. If there's nobody behind that story, there's a reason why it's been put out there without an author on that. And to me, that would be highly suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
It's also differentiating between if it's an opinion piece as opposed to an actual news piece. And I think it was a lot easier when we used to get actual newspapers, that if you kind of think about how a newspaper is put together, anything that's on the front page above the fold is more of a hard-hitting news story, that they have reporters on the ground that are talking to multiple sources. They have editors that are vetting out that information. And you know that that is a news story. And then notice that the opinion section is a completely separate section that you have to open and fold out. And those are people providing just their opinions on particular topics. And so you need to kind of consider who the source is. You know, do we know, are they kind of more liberal leaning? Do they have influences? You know, do they work in a particular industry that they would maybe view things in a particular light because it would benefit them in one particular way? So you kind of have to look at that and consider who the source is.
Yeah. If you're a regular listener to KEXE, KBXE, and you hear the Border News Roundup with Marshall Helmberger, Marshall's reporting on the news that they are covering during the week, and oftentimes that might have to do with copper nickel mining. And so it might be the latest court case or where we're at with it. But then as he, in the conversation you'll hear, he'll say, we editorialized on this this week. And then he'll kind of explain that, because it's a very different thing than the factual multiple source story that he's presenting on the front page of that paper.
Yep. So it was much easier when we had newspapers.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It was way easier.
And we do have newspapers, and we should invest in them, by the way.
100%. And I think you need to find a good neutral news platform to depend upon. And
like what?
Like the PBS NewsHour, which is a very lovely program that they have. It's very succinct, which I like that it's not a, like cable news these days is ridiculous on this 24-hour coverage and
like
that.
What do we think might be happening?
Yeah. like they have these talking heads that are just on there yarning on about whatever topic it is. But the PBS NewsHour is fantastic. And this is going to make me seem like the largest nerd on the face of the planet.
Just accept
it. I know. I love watching C-SPAN. I love watching Senate hearings. I will listen to hours of testimony, and it is dry and it's boring. But I don't have the distraction of the talking heads
telling you what you should think about what was just said.
No, yeah. I prefer just to hear what's actually going on. And after I kind of percolate the information that I've taken in on that Senate hearing, I maybe will then go and look for outside information if I'm kind of, well, I don't know how I feel about this, or I don't know how I feel about that. I really value that kind of firsthand information that we get.
So that's one place we like. We'd love to hear from you if you want to let us know your news source that you trust. National Public Radio, we think, is some of the best journalism out there. That's why we pay a lot through your memberships to bring you National Public Radio news. It is trusted, and we hope that that's a big part of why you are a part of Northern Community Radio.
And we talked about having a healthy news diet, and for me, that looks at having a firsthand source of news and information, but also looking for news sources from overseas. How are they reporting on events that are happening in the United States? Because they often will have a very different look at that, and I think it's important. So the CBC has some really great news programs, as well as the BBC and The Guardian, and I always check those, especially when it's huge news stories that are in the U.S. You know that they're going to be covering them, that they have reporters here that will be doing that. And then I look on either ends of the political spectrum. I'll look at what the Heritage Foundation is saying about conservative things. I will look at the Huffington Post and BuzzFeed and some of those to get a perspective of a more liberal side, and that kind of helps me weigh what lens information is kind of coming through, and I think I have a better news diet that way.
Well, before we go, we're almost out of time. We've got Bob Garfield coming up next on Spotlight, but let's give a couple of ideas for people. There are some really handy tools out there as well to check if something is factual or not. And then I also want you to tell us a little bit about this app that you have downloaded, which I'm going to do soon.
Yeah.
Where you can take these quizzes to check yourself on whether you know what's fake news and what is real news.
So the app, we'll start with that, is through the news literacy project that they have, and it's called Informable, and it's an app that you have, and they take actual images that you will see while you are online, whether it's on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and it will make you differentiate between an ad or news, and you'll be amazed at how many things you think are actually a post, in fact, is a paid-for advertisement. And they're getting very sneaky about this on product placement and that, which was, I did not as well as I thought that I would. Another one, is it news or opinion that you have to differentiate? And they have different little news clips that you can look through, and you have to, is this an actual news story or is it an opinion? And very helpful in kind of identifying what to look for. Because once you do a round of it, you're like, oh, that's much easier to spot an ad as opposed to a news story.
Informable. Okay. What sites do you go to check facts?
Factcheck.org is really great. And I also like Snopes. And on there, they have a truth meter. They will say it's true or it's false, or it's partially true and here's what they got wrong. Or it's it's false, but there is a hint of truth to it. And that's very, very helpful.
It's Spotlight on KEXE, KBXE. We're talking about having good, healthy media consumption habits and making sure to check your own biases and look for factual information. Stay tuned. We'll be talking to Bob Garfield from On the Media. You're listening to Spotlight on KEXE, KBXE. We're honing in this hour on social media, misinformation, and the myths surrounding refugee resettlement in northern Minnesota. I had a chance to talk with Bob Garfield. You know him from WNYC's On the Media. He has a new book out. It's called American Manifesto, Saving Democracy from Villains, Vandals, and Ourselves. I asked him to tell us how social media has infected our communities and what could be done to change it.
Everybody knows that Facebook and Google have an enormous influence in our lives. most of our daily lives. Many of us are minute-to-minute lives. And I think people are equally aware that these are gigantic corporations. What I think people aren't aware of is that they, between them, control 30% of the $600 billion global advertising market. That's something like $180 billion that isn't going to newspapers and magazines that used to bring us information. And so in the first instance, that those newspapers and magazines are all starving, and they're splitting the remaining global advertising spend, or a portion of it, with not a few thousand or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of competitors, but literally the whole Internet's worth of competitors, millions and millions and millions of pages vying for the same ad dollar. That's why they have been suffocating. And then, because of these algorithms that are Facebook's and Google's business models, their business model is to serve people more and more and more of what they've already shown an interest in. And therefore, they're, you know, I don't know. Do you know the experiment where they put a rat in the cages and there's two water bottles and one has cocaine in it and the other does not?
Yeah.
And after one day, the rats drink only from the water bottle with cocaine. Well, that's what Facebook and YouTube do. YouTube's owned by Google. They allow you to feed only from the bottle laced with cocaine. And they don't care what it does to your health, either your physical health or your civic health. And they know the consequences of this. So it's amoral if it isn't actually immoral. And the destruction of basic democratic values and principles is on them.
So these are...
Oh, and to answer your question, yeah. Heidi, I think they should be broken up or face the threat of being broken up by government antitrust action. Just the threat of that might chasten them a great deal.
Yeah. Okay. So you don't believe it when Zuckerberg says, we'll try to do better next time when he comes out about something?
Well, no, I don't believe it. I know he's lying because for the last 15 or 16 years, in the face of various Facebook excesses and errors and unilateral decisions that harm its various stakeholders, he always says, oh, our bad, we'll do better next time. And they never do better next time. On the contrary, they always do worse next time. And they certainly haven't fiddled with EdgeRank, which is the algorithm that makes it all work. And they still profit from the kind of online behavior that does damage to the society. And they know it. And it's tempting for me. I happen to be appalled by the current administration. And it would be tempting for me to say that Donald Trump is the most dangerous and powerful man in the world. But that's not true. Mark Zuckerberg is the most dangerous and powerful man in the world.
It's Bob Garfield. We're talking about his book called American Manifesto, Saving Democracy from Villains, Vandals, and Ourselves. Here's what's going on in northeastern Minnesota, and I want you to help me kind of understand the level of misinformation here. So there was an executive order by the president last year for counties across the country to take a vote on refugee resettlement. If they didn't take a vote, it would automatically mean no, they weren't accepting refugees. So in that time, northern Minnesota has made national news because one of our counties, Beltrami, voted no on it. Other counties are talking about it and they're getting protests about it. The thing that bothers me is the amount of misinformation that's out there. In each of these little towns, everyone is saying there are 6,000 refugees that are going to be moving to our towns and doing all these things. Well, okay, so in 2018, there were 663 refugees that came to the entire state of Minnesota. And we are at least 100 miles outside the radius of where they would ever put refugees because of our lack of connection to other places or communities that they could resettle in. We're hearing it from both conservatives and liberals who are fearful about this huge influx of refugees in northern Minnesota. None of this is true. Could you help us understand kind of the layers of what is going on here and misinformation?
Sure. Well, of course, misinformation, as I was talking about earlier, has been automated through social media. So your social media feed, it automatically adjusts based on what you have consumed and what you've shared with others. So if you have consumed stuff that suggests that northeastern Minnesota is being inundated with refugees, and that, by the way, they're bringing with them crime and disease and, Sharia law or something else that sounds really scary, if you're inclined to believe that, you're going to get more and more and more of that misinformation and share it in your particular tribe. So, and that happens on the right and the left. I mean, you should see my email. I constantly, I'm just awash in accusations about the media being biased against Bernie Sanders for all of the following supposed reasons. And again, from people who have absolutely no idea how a news organization works, but they believe it to the core of their being. And in their little filter bubbles, it's taken as an article of faith. It's not considered a question. It's considered an obvious fact. So, yeah, who's responsible for this? Well, technology, as I said, is responsible for some of it. Amoral business people who let it happen and kind of feast on the harvest of advertising dollars from people's social media habits, you know, they're partly responsible. Sometimes it's bots and trolls and you know, people just up to mischief or bad political actors who are profiting politically or financially from passing along lies. Sometimes it's outside influences like Russian intelligence agents who are trying to sow discord in our politics. But there's someone else who has to be blamed. And that is us. We believe what we wish to believe. You know, if you ask police about people who are victimized by cons, financial cons, grifters, people who are honest are seldom conned, because it takes a fundamental set of, a fundamental impulse of greed to accept the nonsense that the con man is offering. And if you get conned, you should probably be embarrassed, not because you've been foolish, but because you've been caught being greedy. And if you accept political misinformation or disinformation, yeah, you can blame outsiders, but you've got to give some thought as to yourself. And you have a responsibility, in my view, as a citizen, to exercise media hygiene, to think about the source of some fact that you are believing and, worse yet, passing along, to think whether it makes sense, to consider where it came from, to think about the motives of who promulgated it or passed it along to you, to think about whether, based on what you actually know about living in the world, this could possibly be true. But we believe what we wish to believe. And I'm sorry to say that ultimately the blame resides in us, left or right, Democrat or Republican. We permit ourselves to buy what is manifestly untrue. And it's just sad.
Bob Garfield's new book is American Manifesto, Saving Democracy from Villains, Vandals, and Ourselves. You can find more information at bobgarfield.net. Thank you so much for the conversation today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's really been a pleasure.
You've been listening to Spotlight on KAXE KBXE. The creation of this program, we use the following sources: MinnPost, the Timberjay newspaper, the Minnesota Legislative Reference Library, the Immigrant Law Center of Minnesota, and National Public Radio. Music has been by the Thievery Corporation and Christine and the Queens, and Noah Cyrus and Leon Bridges. Send us your feedback. Email comments at KAXE.org. I'm Heidi Holton. This is member supported KAXE KBXE.